There we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
No. Isn't that something? You've never done that before. So this is not a good time to do that now. So welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Tonight's going to be a little bit different of a night, but ain't no better place to do it than right here with all of you and enjoying our community of faith like we always do. There's Sister Rebecca Smith. She's over there on Facebook Live. We got our friends on Blog Talk Radio with us, got our friends on YouTube with us. Tonight, we're going to get caught up on our Read the Word program. If you've never been a part of the Read the Word program, what that is simply I'm going to sit down all year long, and I've been reading the Bible through chronologically to us. There's a specific pattern that I'm following where it's reading it chronologically, and we want you to be a part of it. You can find every video. Somebody help me. I need a hair and makeup person, please, to make those hairs lay down.
We can't see you anyway.
Oh, you can't see me?
I see the image of the white image circle with the, okay.
Woo! I finally made it so I could be seen. Now, there's a YouTube playlist for this that you can start on January 1st and binge watch the whole Word of God being read to you chronologically. Some of you have binge watched Star Trek. Some of you have binge watched, the Hallmark Make You Cry videos at Christmas. Everybody's binge watched something at some time. I encourage you to do it with Read the Word. There's a playlist. If you started in your YouTube app, click start on January 1st. It'll just keep going till you get caught up to us today. We are on day number. We're at right at 200 in the year, and it's an awesome, powerful time to be together. What we do is just read a certain portion each day, and this new opportunity that God's given me to step into has caused me to not have the hours in my day that I had to make it happen, but I think I got that all in the place where it needs to be, and from now on, we're going to have this right in order where it needs to be. So, welcome to Read the Word. Now, I got to get my staff. I think they all went out and took a break. So, I need to move a fan because all of these lights get really hot. So, I'll be right back before we get started. Here we go. Welcome to another session of Read the Word, where we're reading through the Word of God chronologically, holding our Bibles in our hands and reading through God's holy word, just like it was written. No, just like it was lived by all of the great men and women of old. And this is being recorded. So every time you sneeze or snort or yawn, everybody in the whole world will be able to hear it. So I encourage all of our Zoomers to mute your mic. If you're going to sneeze or yawn, well, just mute your mic so we don't get the background noise. But when we're finished tonight, we will have a period of conversation at the end on the Zoom, and you're welcome to be there. Put your comments in, ask the questions in YouTube Live and Facebook Live. Let me see if I can get this a little closer here. Messing up my wife's desk. Don't do that. Everybody knows how dangerous of a position you walk in. But I walk where angels fear to tread. Well, that's what the one dumb old man said. It's impossible to do. Here we go. Our first reading for today is going to be found in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Now, I'll give you a little background so we get caught up. We've been reading through the lives of the kings of Israel and Judah. After David died, the two kingdoms divided, Judah divided. Well, God said he was going to divide Judah because of the sins of Solomon. And so there's a king of Judah, there's a king of Israel, and we've been following them through. Some of them are good kings, and some of them are absolutely, totally, completely perverse. And yet they're the children of Israel, and God is continually trying to reach them. Now, today we are in 2 Chronicles 28 and 2 Kings 16 and 17. You'll notice that these two references, as we read them, will sound a lot alike because it's the same story. One was written in the Kings and one was written in the Chronicles. And one's from Israel point of view, one's from Judah point of view. And so this is about Ahaz reigning in Judah. 2 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse number 1. Don't worry, I have a sufficient amount of coffee and a sufficient amount of water. Here we go. I even got my grandpa cup with me. I love my kids. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became the king. Isn't that something? Josiah was 8 when he became king. You want to talk about believing in miracles. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord God, as his father David had done. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made molded images for the Baals. Thou shalt not do that. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire. Baal always requires child sacrifice. And that's the wicked, perverse demon that is running the abortion false religion. That's what it is. He burned his children in the fire according to the abominations of the nation whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Verse 5, therefore the Lord, his God, delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. They defeated him, carried away a great multitude of them as captives, brought them to Damascus. Then he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with a great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in Judah. 120,000 men died because of their wickedness. Don't be wicked. In one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Now, you might be with us tonight and say, Pastor, I'm not walking with God like I ought to. I encourage you, walk with God like you ought to. You don't have to be perfect like some preacher you saw on the internet. You just have to every day get up and walk with God. Matter of fact, all you Zoomers, click your mic on real quick and just say it. Walk with God.
Walk with God.
Amen. They're all trying to find that unmute button. Here we go. 7. Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, killed Messiah, the king's son. Azricam, the officer over the house, and Elkanah, who was second to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters. And they also took away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. Get the picture. Israel has now come and plundered Judah, their own family, the children of Israel. Verse 9, here's 2 Kings, and here's Kings and Chronicles in a nutshell. But a prophet of the Lord. Thank God for the prophets of the Lord, not the prophets of the land. Whose name was Obed. He went out before the army that came to Samaria and said to them, look, because the Lord God of your fathers was angry with Judah, he has delivered them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that reaches up to heaven. And now you propose to force the children of Judah and Jerusalem to be your male and female servants. But are you not also guilty before the Lord your God? Listen to this prophet. Now hear me, therefore, and return the captives whom you have taken captive from your brethren. For the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. This is on God's own children. You don't want the wrath of God on you. You don't want the wrath of God on your life at all. People are like, well, God's never going to do anything bad to his people, not his good ones. Every one of you believers who think you're doing right and you're in this abortion wickedness, you better get your stuff together. Our Father is against the bloodshed of innocent children. 12. Then some of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Meshilamah, Jehezekiah, the son of Shalom, Amasa, the son of Edlai, stood up against those who came from the war and said to them, you shall not bring the captives here, for we already have offended the Lord. Wow. You intend to add to our sins and to our guilt, and for our guilt is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. The armed men left the captives and the spoil before the leaders and all the assembly. Then the men who were designated by name rose up, took the captives from the spoil. They clothed all who were naked among them, dressed them, gave them sandals, gave them food and drink, and anointed them. There's some good men. And they let all the feeble ones ride on donkeys. So they brought them to their brethren at Jericho, the city of the palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. Verse 16. At the same time, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria to help him. For again, the Edomites had come, attacked Judah, and carried away captives. The Philistines also invaded the cities of the lowland of the south of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederoth, Succah with its villages, Timnah with its villages, Gimzo with its villages, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he had encouraged moral decline in Judah. Wow. And had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. That is not a statement that you want to have made about you. That you had encouraged moral decline and had been unfaithful continually. Verse 20. Also Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came to him and distressed him and did not assist him. Ahaz took part of the treasures from the house of the Lord, from the house of the king and from the leaders, and he gave it to the king of Assyria, but he did not help him. Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is King Ahaz. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped him, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. So Ahaz gathered articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem, every single city of Judah. He made high places to burn incense to others' God and to provoke to anger the Lord God of his father. Now the rest of his acts and all of his ways from first to last, indeed they're written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Ahaz rested with his father. They buried him in the city in Jerusalem. They did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. Then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place. And what that doesn't say is he went straight to hell for what he did. 2 Kings chapter 16. No matter what's going on in your life, do not keep going in the wrong direction. Can I get an amen from anybody? Do not keep going in the wrong direction. If you see yourself in sin, if you see yourself doing wrong, do not keep going in the wrong direction. Don't do it. Turn, and God will bless you for your turning. 2 Kings chapter 16, and it's going to be the same kind of story, but we're going to see something different. Here we go. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done. Can you imagine 16 years God gave you the opportunity to lead the nation, and you chose rebellion? But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel indeed. He made his sons pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast from before the children of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places and the hills under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Syria, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to make war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. See, that's a different statement than Chronicles. At that time, Rezin, king of Syria, captured Elath for Syria, drove the men of Judah from Elath. Then the Edomites went to Elath to dwell to this day. Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I'm your servant and your son. Come up, save me from the hand of the king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel, who rise up against me. Ahaz took silver and gold, watch this, that was found in the house of the Lord in the treasuries of the king's house, and sent it as a present to the king of Assyria, and look at what he said in verse 7. I am your son. This great child of God is submitting himself by his own words to a wicked, perverse king of the world. And the book of Ezekiel says it's an abomination for a child of God to fall down in front of the wicked. Verse 9. King of Assyria heeded him. King of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it, carried people captive to Kir and killed Rezin. King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest. Now look, here's the priest getting involved. The design of the altar and its pattern according to all its workmanship. He took a picture and he sent it. You know how that goes? That was a joke. Then Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. Wow. Urijah the priest made it before King Ahaz came back from Damascus. When the king came back from Damascus, the king saw the altar. The king approached the altar and made offerings on it. He burned his burnt offering, his grain offering. He poured his drink offering, sprinkled the blood of his peace offering on the altar. He is literally doing the same things that God required of them in Exodus, in Leviticus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy. He's doing the same things, and he's doing it on a false God's altar. Just do not do that. Jesus, he brought the bronze altar which was before the Lord from the front of the temple, from between the new altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the new altar. The king Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, on the great new altar, burn the morning burnt offerings, the evening grain offering, the king's burnt sacrifice and his grain offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, their grain offering, their drink offerings. Sprinkle on it all the blood of the burnt offering, all the blood of sacrifice, and the bronze altar shall be for me to inquire by it. Thus did Urijah the priest according to all the king commanded. You see, and we see it in Chronicles where it said that he made God very filled with wrath toward him because he's mixing an abomination with the things of God. And my brother and sister, it's happening every day right here in America and around the world. They mix witchcraft and Christianity. They mix Hinduism and Christianity. They mix Eastern mysticism and Christianity. They mix mental powers and mental telepathy of witchcraft and Christianity, and they stand in the pulpit in these big buildings and preach it every single day. And if you and I don't have our eyes open to it, we'll listen to what they say. Read the Word, the majestic Word of God. Can I get an amen from the Zoomers, at least one of you?
Amen.
Amen, Brother Dan. Here we go. King Ahaz cut off the panels of the carts, removed the labors from them, took down the sea from the bronze oxen that were under it, put it on a pavement of stones. He removed the Sabbath pavilion which they had built in the temple, and removed the king's outer entrance from the house of the Lord on account of the king of Assyria. The rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Ahaz rested with his fathers, buried with the fathers in the city of David. Then Hezekiah reigned in his place. Hey, thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate your amen. All of you on Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, we're glad to have you with us. You're very welcome to make comments over there in the different platforms. We'll see you, and we appreciate you being there. We are in 2 Kings chapter 17. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him. Hoshea became his vassal, paid him tribute and money. King of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy by Hoshea, for he sent messengers to Seoul, Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up, bound him in prison. Now, the king of Assyria went throughout all the land, went up to Samaria, and besieged it for 3 years. For 3 years, he besieged this land. Can you imagine for 1,260 days being besieged? That's severe. That's going to so wear you out. But see, that's what God told the children of Israel. If you don't walk with me, then the enemy's going to come and destroy you. Walk with God. Verse 5 or 6. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, carried Israel away to Assyria, and placed them in Hala and by Habor, the river of Gozan, in the city of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And they had feared other gods, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. Also, the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every hill and under every green tree. They burned incense on all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your father, which I sent to you by my servant the prophets." Nevertheless, they would not hear. Look at what it says. But they stiffened their necks. If you stiffen your neck, well, I'm going to say it differently. You and I are the ones that stiffen our necks. God doesn't do it. Circumstances don't do it. Situations don't do it. We do it. Don't stiffen your neck. All right. I can tell by the Holy Spirit I got to say something right here. You might say, "Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life." It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You don't know what's going on in my life. I had some serious things happen to me in my life. But the answer in God is that no matter what's going on, you wake up every day and you look up to heaven. Actually, you look down in here, if you're a believer, and you say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't understand all of this, but I do not lay it a charge against you or your ways, because you have never failed one person in all of history." You might say, "Yeah, but Pastor, people did me wrong and God didn't stop it." God was talking to everybody around you to stop the wrong from happening, and they weren't listening, and they're going to be judged on the other side. But just because they did wrong doesn't mean that you and I should do wrong. Walk with God. He will help you. He will help you. It's not about religiosity and churchianity. It's about you walk with God. I'm going to say something very bold right now. Every marriage problem there is because you are not walking with God. And people are like, "No, you walk with God. You can't change your mate. Stop trying. You walk with God." That mate is an heir of the grace of life if they're a believer. God's reaching them as much as he's reaching you. You walk with God. Pastor, but what if they walk away? Then they walk away. It ain't God. And it isn't your responsibility. It's your responsibility for you to walk with God and never have your mouth against the other person. Never. And there's a lot of people that when things begin to happen, that you start speaking with your mouth. Stop it. You don't know everybody else's life. You don't know what's going on inside of them. Stop talking about them. At your job, your business, your ministry, maybe you're a politician, teacher, whatever. Stop talking about them. Walk with God and watch him turn your life into the most amazing thing. It don't matter. If your business partner walks out the door, you still got to be a man or woman of God. If your mate walks out the door, you still got to be a man or woman of God. If your children hate you, it don't matter. You still have to be a man or woman of God. And you don't want that. And you and I pray every day for their sins to be remitted so they'll come to their senses. But you can't live your life for anybody else. There's a day coming where you, yourself, are going to stand before Almighty God, and you are going to have to give an account of who you are and what you're doing. I am speaking by the Holy Spirit to a whole bunch of people right now, I can tell. Drop the charges against that other person and keep moving in your life. All right, here we go. No more preaching, at least for 2 minutes. Just reading. Are you ready? 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. They rejected his, that's capitalized, statutes, and his, that's capitalized, covenant, that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies, which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, went after the nations who were all around them, according whom the Lord had charged them, that they should not be like them. I'm in 2 Kings 17:16. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image, and worshipped all the host of the heavens. And look at this. And served Baal. That's a wicked, false god that demands child sacrifice. It's still alive today. It's a demon spirit run by the spirit of religion that you see Great Babylon cast down in the book of Revelation. That's the false god of Baal. It's still a reigning demonic principality today. Jesus crushed it. It has no power over you. That enemy still exists. Seeking, listen to this, seeking who it may devour. Just don't let it devour you. They caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. The Lord was very angry with Israel, removed them from his sight. He removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. The Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, delivered them into the hand of the plunderers until he had cast them. For he tore Israel from the house of David. They made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. The Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them. See, guys, a leader has a responsibility to walk with God, because everybody that's following has got to be able to follow him. And I'm going to tell you one thing I learned being a leader in front of God, and that's to say, this is the way, walk in it. Follow God. Chase him. Get rid of the stuff in your life, and it'll be a blessing to you. 22, the children of Israel walked in the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them, till the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by his servant the prophet. Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day. Verse 24, 2 Kings 17:24. The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Kutha, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria. Instead of the children of Israel, they took possession of Samaria, dwelt in its cities, and it was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them. Oh my goodness. And killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you removed and placed in the city of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them. And indeed they are killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. King of Assyria commanded, saying, send there one of the priests whom you brought from there. Let him go and dwell there. Let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land. One of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now watch this. Bethel was the place where Jacob had come out of serving Laban, and he got back to Bethel, which is where the angels had gone up and down on the ladder when he was on his way to Laban. He got back to Bethel, built himself a place there because he had just met Esau, and dwelt there. It's a place of God. It's got an altar there that Jacob named at Bethel after the presence of God. And now this wicked king tells a priest to go back and teach the people there the ways of the God of the land. And that's what you and I are. 29. Every nation continued to make gods of its own and put them in shrines on the high places which the Samaritans had made. Every nation in the cities where they dwelt. The men of Babylon made Succoth, Benath. The men of Cuth made Negro. The men of Hamath made Ashima. And the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak. And the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. They feared the Lord. So they feared the Lord, and from every class they appointed for themselves priests of the high places. Sacrificed them in the shrines of the high places. These people literally burnt their children with fire. How wicked is that? They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried. To this day, they continue practicing former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes and their ordinances, or the law and the commandment which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and outstretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes, ordinances, the law, the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget. Nor shall you fear other gods. The Lord your God you shall fear. He will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. However, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. So the nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Also, their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. I agree, Sunday. I love the word of God. I love the word. It is so enlightening to understand this word. It's so enlightening. It's so enlightening. Now, I'm going to read 2 Kings 18, 1 through 8, because we've got that down here in another couple days. 2 Kings 18, 1 through 8. Came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the king of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Thank God for Hezekiah. Want to say it with me? Thank God for mighty men and women of God. God has always had a people walk with them. 2. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Glory be to God for righteousness. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places, broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Till those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. They were worshiping the golden pole that Moses made. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not part from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza territory from watchtower to fortified city. Somebody shout, I love the majestic word of God. I love the majestic word of God. Now,
I love the majestic word of God.
I love the majestic word of God.
Amen. It's so filled with insight, isn't it? This isn't difficult, guys. Jesus, remember this statement. Somebody look these verses up. I don't have that reference right in the top of my head. Father, give it to me. Jesus said, all of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, all of the law and the prophets hang. Let's see how you do it. Hang. They're hanging on this law and prophets. On these two commandments in the New Testament. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. All of the new moons and the Sabbaths, all the feasts. Hebrews says all that stuff is a shadow. Jesus, there's no shadow in Jesus. Turn the lights on. Quit walking around in darkness. People that walk in darkness should not be in a church. You've seen the great light. All of the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And your neighbor as yourself. When you do, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I am pretty sure that I can be really confident in the fact of saying, I know that you want to have his yoke being easy and his burden being light. Now we're going next to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. Now, think about this. In the middle of all of this wickedness, in the background is Isaiah. Isaiah is writing the book of Isaiah. He don't know it. He's just writing as the Holy Spirit is instructing him. Isaiah is writing all of this in the background of all of that wicked perversion that you and I just read. In the middle of all this wickedness, God's got Isaiah in the background. And and who's the next one we're reading? Isaiah and Hosea. These are contemporary prophets in all of that wickedness that we just read. Isaiah chapter 13. I love the majestic word of God. I love the word of God. Chapter 13. Hold on just a second. The proclamation against Babylon. Hold on just a second. North Dakota sunset's about to happen, and I don't like to miss a woman. Here we go. The proclamation against Babylon, the burden against Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. Lift up a banner on the high mountain. Raise your voice to them. wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like that of many people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, the Lord and his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pains and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger. Well, can you imagine God looking down and watching these people bear children just to offer them to a false god? How many of these people have you heard saying, I had a baby just so I could abort it at whatever period of time they say and they can abort it at? How wicked is that? That's what we just read right here. This isn't Democrat or Republican. This is righteousness and wickedness. Wow. Verse 9, Isaiah 13, now, the day of the Lord comes cruel with both wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate. He will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. Remember, we just read, they were starting to worship the stars. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I'll make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. They made gold out of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. Now, wait, pause right here for a second. This is not like talking of that day. This is talking of when God gets ready to destroy the whole earth. God's going to shake everything on this earth that can be shaken. And then the day comes when every human that ever lived on the face of this earth will stand before Almighty God at the judgment seat. And on that day, God is going to destroy this earth. No man can destroy this earth. I don't care what anybody thinks about their nuclear weapon. All that does is kill the people off the surface. That is not going to destroy this earth. They know man has the ability. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But this day is coming in the future. Not only did God wipe out all these his people and judge the nations then, but he's going to do it again. Verse 14. It shall be as the hunted gazelle, as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people. Everyone will flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through. Everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver. And as for gold, they will not delight in it. Their bows will dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you and I know from the history of the Bible, Babylon comes in, and that's when Daniel and the three Hebrew children are carried away, and then they help rule. Even in the midst of the wicked perversion, Daniel and the three Hebrew children are raised to a level of leadership in that wicked nation. And to the point that King Nebuchadnezzar actually makes the statement, there is no other God like the God of heaven and earth, after he grazed in the front yard of the palace for 7 years like an animal. Be careful, Mr. Biden, and anybody else that ever gets in the White House. You might be found out grazing in the front yard. Wouldn't that be a sign and a wonder for around the world? I won't say the rest of those thoughts I had. Verse 20. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there. Wild beasts of the deserts will lie there, and their houses will be full of owls, ostriches who dwell there. Wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and jackals in their pleasant places. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. Chapter 14. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. Hallelujah. Somebody shout glory. And will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land. Strangers will be joined with them. They will cling to the house of Jacob. Then people will take them and bring them to their place. The house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids in the land of the Lord. They will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. It shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and hard bondage in which you are made to serve. You will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, and now we hear the proverb to the king of Babylon. And that runs from this verse here, from verse number 5 all the way through chapter 16. This is God speaking against Babylon, and you're going to find in chapter 14 that we're going to see the verses about when Lucifer fell. Ready? Let's read. How the oppressor has ceased. The golden city ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He who ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and no one hinders. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down, no woodman has come up against us. Look at this. Held from beneath is excited about you. How do people in this day say there is no hell? Oh, I know. They don't believe the word of God is true. And they're preachers in the pulpit. Hell is real. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming, stirs up the dead for you. All the chief ones of the earth it has raised up from their thrones. All the kings of the nations, they all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you and the worms cover you. Do you know what they're talking about? God is saying hell saw Satan falling and was rejoicing. Right, that's the wrong word. And made hell ready for Lucifer to be cast out of heaven. Did you notice that? The sound of your stringed instruments. Lucifer was an instrument of music. He was the archangel of worship. He was a musical instrument. He had built in him musical instrument. There it is. and hell is prepared for him to fall into it. This is the fall of Lucifer. Verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven and exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. He's trying to elevate himself up against God. Jesus drop kicked him straight out of heaven. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud and I'll be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Somebody find the verse where Jesus said, I saw Satan like a flash of lightning thrown out of heaven. Somebody look that verse up and put it right there in the comments. Verse 16, those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of the prisoners? You and I are going to look at Satan and we're going to mock and stand in wonderment that so many people allowed him to destroy their lives. Just learn to do it now by choice, and it has no power over you. 18, all the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land, slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. This is Babylon destroyed. For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts. That's Jesus and all the angels. And cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine. He didn't know the porcupine was in the Bible, did you? And marshes of muddy water, I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have brought, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Two very great faith principles right there. As I have thought, it shall come to pass, but it's not your mental powers that bring it to pass. It's your thoughts that are led in the thoughts of Jesus. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But God is saying to you and I, elevate yourself to my thoughts. You're going to do this work by my power working in you, not by your thoughts. It's not by mental power. As I purpose, so I will stand. Then I will break the Assyrian in my land. On my mountains, tread them under. His yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. Aren't you glad that God has promised to remove the enemy's burden and yoke from our shoulders? Hallelujah. This is the purpose that is proposed against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations, for the Lord of hosts has purpose. And who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? This is the burden which came in the year that King Ahaz died. Now remember, Ahaz was that wicked man that did so evil. So Isaiah is saying this is the prophecy that came out during his reign. Do not rejoice, all of you in Philistia, because the rod that struck you is broken. For out of the serpent's root will come forth a viper, will be a fiery flying serpent. The firstborn of the poor will feed, and the needy will lie down in safety. I will kill your roots with famine, and it will slay your remnant. Wail, O gate. Cry out, O city. All of you of Philistia are dissolved. Smoke will come from the north, for no one will be alone in his appointed times. What will they answer, the messengers of the nation? The Lord, that the Lord has founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall take refuge in it. Remember that over here in, I think it's Isaiah chapter 2. Let me just turn this. Isaiah chapter 2. It says that in the last day, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established and people will flow to it. Yeah. Chapter 2, it's right there in verse 32. It's the majestic word of God. It's the majestic word of God. All you on YouTube, welcome. I know we're on here a little bit later tonight, but it's all right. We're just reading the word, getting ourselves caught up. Here we go. Chapter 15. The burden against Moab. This is God speaking to them. Because in the night, Ar of Moab is laid waste and destroyed. Because in the night, Ker of Moab is laid waste and destroyed. He has gone up to the temple and the Dibon, to the high places to weep. Moab will wail over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads will be baldness. Every beard will be cut off. In their streets they'll clothe themselves with sackcloth. On the tops of their houses and in their streets, everyone will wail, weeping bitterly. And that was over there in Kings and in Chronicles where God said, you're going to wail and weep bitterly. Heshbon and Elealeh will cry out. Their voice will be heard as far as Jahaz. The armed soldiers of Moab will cry out. His life will be burdensome to him. My heart will cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee to Zoar like a three-year-old heifer. For by the ascent of Luhith, they will go up with weeping. For in the way of Peronium, they will rise up a cry of destruction. For the waters of Nimrim will be desolate. The green grass is withered away. The grass fails. There's nothing. Therefore, the abundance they have gained and what they have laid up, they will carry away to the brook of the willows. For the cry has gone out through all the borders of Moab. It's waiting to Eglaim. And it's wailing to Eglaim to bear Elam. For the waters of Dimon will be full of blood, because I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon him who escapes from Moab, and on the remnant on the land. Isn't it something that God literally had to send lions upon them to devour them in the street before they turn from their ways to God? No matter who you are that might be listening today, don't make God bring that much destruction in your life. You might say, Pastor, you just said God will bring destruction if you ain't walking with him. If you're not walking with God, you don't have the umbrella of his protection, and that wicked enemy out there is going to destroy everything about you. Because he's not a God of, well, number one, the enemy's not a God, and he has no blessing in him. Every good and perfect thing comes from the Father. Jesus, John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But what's the enemy bring? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the day of Israel, they couldn't just change and say, oh, God, live within me. He didn't live in them then. But our generation has no excuse. No matter what nation of the world you're in, because as soon as you turn to God, God comes and lives inside of you. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. You don't have to go to a foreign nation to worship. The God that you worship lives right inside of you. It's what Jesus said to the woman at the well. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. And he said, then, and now is the time when the Father is seeking them who will worship him in spirit and in truth. No matter who you are, no matter how much hell has beat the living stuffings out of you, turn to God now. Quit pointing your finger at everybody else. You turn to God for you. Like, get real. I don't have no judgment. There ain't one of us that haven't sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. Call you strengthened and strong, Sister Phyllis. Here we go. I'm in chapter 15. We're getting it done. We're going to have made up 2 days real quick here. The burden against Moab. I'm in 15:4. Heshbon and Eleah will cry out. Their voice will be heard as far as Jahaz. The armed up soldiers of Moab will cry out. His life will be burdensome on him. Oh, we already read all this, didn't we? Yeah. I'm in chapter 16. I'll get it. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land. From Selah to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. So shall be the daughters of Moab at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel. Execute judgment. Make your shadow like the nights in the middle of the day. Hide the outcast. Do not betray him who escapes. Let my outcast dwell with you, O Moab. Be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. In mercy, the throne will be established. Look at this. And one, notice that one is capitalized. That's Jesus. And one will sit on it in truth, the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. He makes you the righteousness of God. I'm going to get this in every one of us. Verse 6, we have heard of the pride of Moab, he's very proud, of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Therefore Moab shall wail for Moab, and everyone shall wail for the foundations of Kir. Hazareth shall you shall mourn. Surely they are stricken, for the fields of Heshbon language and the vine of Sibmah. The lords of the nations have broken down its choice plants, which have reached to Jazer and wandered through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. Therefore, I will bewail the vine of Sibmah with the weeping of Jazer. I will drench you with tears, O Heshbon and Elealeh, for the battle cries have fallen over your summer fruits and your harvest. Gladness is taken away, and joy from the plentiful field. In the vineyards there will be no singing, nor will there be shouting. No treaders will tread out wine in the presses. I have made their shouting cease. Therefore my heart shall resound like a harp for Moab, and my inner being for Kir Haraz. It shall come to pass, for the scene that when it is seen that Moab is weary in the high place, that he will come to his sanctuary to pray, but he will not prevail. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hired man, the glory of Moab will be despised with all that great multitude, and the remnant will be very small and feeble. But I want you to notice, there is still a remnant with our God. You want to say it with me? There is a remnant today, and I am one of them. Anybody find that verse I was looking for? All right. Somebody help me find that verse where Jesus said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You know, when you and I got one more chapter in this day, but I want to say this. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversary, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I didn't think God poured out his wrath. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he pours out his wrath. Thank you, Rebecca. Matthew 22:40. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. That's where Jesus said, all of the law and the prophet hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbors as yourself. Now, you see where this verse is. 12:19. In the New Testament, Paul quotes it. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God reserves his wrath for his enemies, not for you and I. But you got to turn. You got to turn. You don't have to be a religious person and look or act or talk like another human being or a bunch of rules and regulations somebody gives you. If you walk with God, you're never going to violate somebody's rules or regulation unless they're giving you something that doesn't belong in God. And if they're giving you something that doesn't belong in God, then what are you doing following that anyways? Well, that man strap on you a bunch of rules and regulations that don't have anything to do with God. See, you and I are in a place in Christianity where we're breaking off the bondages and the bands of wickedness that are in the church. Don't let people tell you not to follow the Holy Spirit. Don't let people tell you tithe isn't still a tithe today. I'm not after your money. God wants to rebuke the devourer in your life. This is so much bigger than all the stuff that you see today. This is what I know. If you walk with God and you do what he says, and I walk with God and do what he says, we're going to walk with God and we're going to do what he says, and it's going to be the same thing, and ain't nobody going to be able to stop this work that we're doing. Not because I'm telling you how to live every day or I'm forcing you to do something, but because on the inside of you, you've heard God speak to you from his word, and you say, I'm going to go do that. And you're going to go do it because you see it in the word, and I'm going to do it because I see it in the word. And guess what? Nobody, no force on this earth can stop the men and women of God who walk with him. But you got to turn and begin to say, Jesus, help us every day. Here we go. One more chapter. What was it? I'm in chapter number 17, Isaiah 17. Just like this, we got 2 days made up. Glory be to God. Here we go. The burden against Damascus. Now God's going to speak through Isaiah, the prophet. He's going to speak against Damascus. And all of that wickedness we just read in Chronicles and Kings, this prophet's in the background, somewhere hidden by God. And he's now prophesying. The burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city and will be a ruinous heap. 17:1. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They will be for flocks. That means no buildings, just grass. Which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The fortress also will cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Assyria will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. That Jesus, all the angels. Every time you see the Lord of hosts, you got to make this statement. That's Jesus and all the angels. It shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane and the fatness of its flesh grow lean. It shall be as when the harvester gathers the grain and reaps the heads with his arm. It shall be as he who gathers heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grapes will be left in it like the shaking of an olive tree. Two or three olives at the top of the uttermost bough, four or five in its most beautiful branches, says the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 7. In that day, I love this verse. Look at this. This is Isaiah 17:7. In that day, a man will look to his maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. That's Jesus. He will not look to the altars, the work of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. In that day, his strong cities will be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there will be desolation. Verse 10. Because you've forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold, therefore you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. In the day you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish, but the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like rush of mighty waters. The nations will rush like the rushing of many waters, but God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Then, behold, at eventide, trouble, and before the morning, he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who rob us. Day number 196 and day number 197 of Read the Word. How's everybody doing? Do you have time for one more day?
I do.
Amen. Anybody else?
Phyllis is talking and you can't hear because her microphone's not on.
Okay. I think the gang has finally settled down and maybe some of those kids are going to go to sleep. So I'll be able to leave my mic open.
Well, you all right?
Well, Phyllis, you got company, huh?
a bunch.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Nice.
Well, let's do one more day. What do you think?
Good.
Here
sure.
we go. All right. So here's what we got to do. Now, I usually do circle the wagons at the end and begin to talk about it, but let's just go right into this. This will be day 198, and this is Isaiah chapter 18 through 22. All right? And the most important thing that we have to see here, now there's, you know, like the Bible scholars who have a doctorate degree in the book of Isaiah, there's so much more you can glean from what we're doing. But as an overall picture of what's happening, we see the wickedness of Judah and Israel. We see there's a remnant in the background. We see God uses all the other nations to submit them, force them to get back to him. And many of them never do. Many people, even though life is beating the stinking snot out of them, they will not submit to God and say, God, I need you in my life. Here's the revelation of it. The day will come when you will bow your knee to God Almighty. That day is coming. And every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. If you do it here, now you get to live with his blessing. If you wait until he forces you at the throne, then you're still going to bow your knee, but you're going to miss eternity with the Father. Remember, it's not a religion. You're going to miss eternity with the Father who created you with a wonderful life. You might say, Pastor, my life has been horrible. Well, it's only horrible because you've not focused your thought in on God and said, God, help my life turn from wickedness, perversion, confusion, loss, destruction, to become a mighty man or woman of God. Don't blame God. Don't blame anybody else. Start today, 21 July 2022, on a Thursday night, and say, God, I'm going to walk with you. Show me who you are. May I understand it. And he will not fail me. He wants to live in you. Israel didn't have God inside of them. We have God inside of us. And his blessing is on us. Ready? Let's have a big drink of coffee. Day 198 is Isaiah 18 through 22. Here we go. Woe to the land, shadowed with buzzing wings. Don't you hate them stinking locusts? The buzz, I hate them things. Drive you crazy. Which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which sends ambassadors by sea, even in vessels of reed on the waters, saying, go swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth of skin, to the people of terrible, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide. All inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountains, you see it. When he blows a trumpet, you hear it. For so the Lord said to me, I will take my rest. Notice that this my is capitalized. And if you don't have a new one of the new perversions where they take all of them out, if you read this in the New King James, all of the my's, all of the pronouns of God are capitalized, and you'll be able to see who's talking. I will take my rest, and I will look from my dwelling place. Like clear heat in sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening with the flower, you will both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. They will be left together for the mountain birds of prey, for the beast of the earth. The birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. In that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, and from a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide, to the place of the name of the Lord of the host, to Mount Zion. There's the Lord of hosts. That's Jesus and all the heavenly angels. Verse 19, proclamation against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother. Everyone against his neighbor. City against city. Kingdom against kingdom. Spirit of Egypt. Notice that's a small s. The spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel, and they will consult the idols, the charmers, the mediums, and the sorcerers, and the Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master. Fierce king will rule over them, says the Lord, the Lord of hosts. What is that? That's witchcraft. You and I have got to get every bit of witchcraft removed from our life. Every bit of it. There is no mixture. You can't mix God, the word of God, with a witchcraft practice. Verse chapter 19. I'm in verse number 5. The waters will fail from the sea, and the river will be wasted and dried up. The rivers will turn foul. The brooks of defense will be emptied and dried up. The reeds and rushes will wither. The papyrus reeds by the river, by the mouth of the river. Everything sown by the river will wither, be driven away, and be no more. Now see, the river is always the place of life. The fishermen also will mourn, and those will lament who cast hooks into the river, and they will languish who spread nets on the waters. Moreover, those who work in fine flax and those who weave fine fabric will be ashamed. Its foundations will be broken, and all who make wages will be troubled by trouble of soul. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. Zoan is a place in Egypt. Pharaoh's wise counselors give foolish counsel. How do you say to Pharaoh, I'm the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts has purposed against Egypt. Isn't it something that when Egypt ruled the whole world, it was under the command of the hand of a child of God, Joseph? And when they decided to destroy Israel, then God said, well, I'll just wipe you. Hey, Kathy Angaroni's with us. Everybody give us three cheers for Kathy. Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray. Hip, hip. Hooray.
Hooray.
All right. We are in chapter, Isaiah chapter 18. And, we're in verse 13. We're reading the word tonight, Kathy. Welcome. Princes of Zoan have become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also deluded Egypt, those who are the mainstay of its tribes. The Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in their midst, and they've caused Egypt to err in all her work as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. Neither will there be any work for Egypt, which the head or the tail, palm branch, bulrush may do. 16. In that day, Egypt will be like a woman, will be afraid and fear because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he waves over it. No, get this picture. The book of Psalms says, with a blast of his nostril, he separated the sea. Right? So Jesus sneezed, God sneezed, and the Red Sea parted. And the Red Sea parts. Well, this time it says that God's going to wave his hand and make the whole nation afraid. It doesn't matter whether they realize this is true. You and I, our voices are no different than Isaiah's voice in the middle of all that perversion. But it's all right. Just stand and be strong. We're going to say it when we get to heaven. God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. 17, I'm in Isaiah 19, 17. The land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt. Everyone who makes mention of it will be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he's determined against it. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts. One will be called the city of destruction. In that day, there'll be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord at its border. It'll be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressor. Look at this capital He. And he will send them a savior and a mighty one. And he will deliver them. Can you see Jesus there? The Lord of hosts. And then he will send them a savior. God will send a savior, Jesus, a mighty one. He will deliver them, even the Egyptians. See, that's the majestic word of God. The Old Testament, God lived in heaven and came down and met with them every now and then. And in the New Testament, God lives inside of you and me. Just walk with him. You can't walk with God for anybody else. We're trying to change anybody around you. If you're a parent over a child, you're responsible for that child till they're grown. Once they're grown, then your place comes as influence and prayer and speaking the promise of God. You can't change somebody. 21. The Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day and will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. The Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it, and they will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day, there'll be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. And that day, Israel will be one of the three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, by inheritance. And there's the gospel going to the Gentile world. Well, thank you, Kathy, because we all needed to see you. You're just one of us. And we're glad you're a part of this gathering of believers. Isaiah chapter 20, the sign against Egypt and Ethiopia. In the year that Tartan came to Ashdod, when Sargon, king of Syria, sent him, and he fought against Ashdod and took it. Now see, the Bible's not a history book, but it's a book of history. Right there, that verse can go to the annals of history of the modern day historians and be proven that the word of God is true in that verse. You know, and can show wicked men. Whoops. It's not only in our words, but God wrote it. And here's a bunch of prophecies that prove it's all true. His word is truth. And when men receive it, their lives change. Verse 2. The same time the Lord spoke by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, go, remove the sackcloth from your body. Take your sandals off your feet. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. That's not a prophetic assignment that I want. How about you? Walking naked and barefoot. My feet are too tender. There's too much gravel. And the Lord said, just as my servant has walked naked and barefoot. Oh, my goodness. He did it for 3 years. Forgot about this. Just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. Then they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and Egypt their glory. And the inhabitant of this territory will say in that day, surely such is our expectation whenever we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria. And how shall we escape? Isaiah was faithful to God. Lord have mercy, I forgot all about this. And he walked naked and barefoot for 3 days, 3 years, proclaiming the judgment of God. Can you imagine how his heart broke for those people? Imagine how Jesus, we can't say his heart breaks because he came to heal the brokenhearted, but can you imagine inside of Jesus the frustration in this day? Yeah, there's no frustration. How he longs for people to come to know him. How Jesus reaches out to every person saying, will you just let me in? I'll solve it all. Let me in. Let me in. And yet people decide they got to be their own God. Do it in their own strength. You can do it. I'm not going to condemn you. Your own ways will condemn you. I'm going to be that voice standing in your face saying, no, let God in. He'll lead you from the inside out. God wants to lead you from the inside out. Woo! I'm going to go to preaching, and it's time to be a reading. Chapter 21. The burden against the wilderness of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it comes from the desert, from a terrible land. A distressing vision is declared to me. The treacherous dealer deals treacherously, and the plunderer plunders. Go up, Elam. Besiege, O Media. All its sighing I have made to cease. My loins are filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold of me like the pangs of a woman in labor. I was distressed when I heard it. I was dismayed when I saw it. My heart wavered. Fearfulness frightened me. The night for which I longed, he turned into fear for me. Prepare the table, set a watchman in the tower. Eat and drink. Arise, you princes, anoint the shield. For thus has the Lord said to me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. And he saw a chariot with a pair of horsemen. chariot of donkeys, and a chariot of camels. And he listened earnestly with great care. Then he cried, "A lion, my lord! I stand continually on the watchtower in the daytime. I have sat at my post every night. And look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen." Then he answered and said, "Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. All the carved images of her God he has broken to the ground." Now see, this is a prophecy about the day that they're living in. But when you come back here to the book of Revelation, and 17 and 18, it actually makes the same statement. Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. So this is a prophecy not only of that day, but of the day that's coming in the future. You know, where's my verse at here? Verse 10, Isaiah 21:10. The 92nd lady is with us tonight. Well, how nice of you to be here. It's good to have you with us tonight. And don't be interrupting us. Oh, my threshing and the grain of my floor, that which I have heard from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I've declared to you the burden against Duma. He calls to me out of sorrow. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? And the watchman said, "The morning comes, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire, return, come back." The proclamation against Arabia. The burden against Arabia. In the forest in Arabia you'll lodge, O you traveling companies of Dedanites. O inhabitants of the land of Tema, bring water to him who's thirsty. With their bread they met him who fled. For they fled from the swords, from the bent bow and the distress of war. These people are going to flee into the deserts to get away from this war. 16, for thus the Lord has said to me, within a year, according to the year of a hired man, all the glory of Kedar will fall. And the remainder of the number of archers, the mighty men of the people of Kedar, will be diminished. For the Lord God of Israel has spoken. Verse chapter 22, the proclamation against Jerusalem. Remember, Isaiah is a prophet who during this whole time is prophesying the word of the Lord that's going to come to pass. And it happened exactly as he prophesied it. Exactly. You know, Wow, I just had this thought. I'm going to say it. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, is Jesus talking to the New Testament church known as the Laodiceans. That's our generation. Verse 14, these things says, Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. One translation says, spew you. Because you say, look at this, verse 17. Because you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and you know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's why Isaiah walked naked for 3 years, to show the people the condition. Now, don't be walking around naked saying, I'm going to be like Isaiah and show you your condition. That was a direct assignment of God. You don't want everybody else walking around naked. No matter what you think, you can't use that to say you're legal for you to go to a nude beach. Just thought I'd straighten something out in the kingdom. Look what he says. You do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. No matter your condition today, all you got to do is repent, turn, and go the other way. Pastor, I can't stop stealing. I know, but that's the nature of the old being. If you will accept Jesus, just accepting, he'll change that nature, and you'll no longer be a thief, you'll be a giver. Maybe you're a cheater and you're always cheating on things. God will change that nature and you'll no longer cheat. You'll be a blessing. Maybe you're a liar. Can't tell the truth if it, as the old saying, if your life depended on it. When the spirit of truth comes to live inside of you, your nature changed. You can't live in the modern day church of the Laodiceans that says, however, whatever it takes to make the situation work is legal. No, lying is not right. Not for your business. Cheating is not right. Not for your business. Not for your personal life. Stealing is not right. See, the church does a bunch of this. And Jesus is speaking to the church right here. He said, you got to get the robe of righteousness. How do you buy it? With your faith, by reaching out to receive it. It's the only way you get it. You can go to church. You can go to confession. You can say 10 Hail Marys and 57 Our Fathers before noon every day, and it ain't going to do you a lick of good. You can go to morning prayer, noon prayer, night prayer, and if you don't meet the God of the prayer in here, none of that's going to do any good for you. And it'll leave you with a horrible taste of religion in your mouth. I'm preaching pretty good, even though you might just be staring at me. Verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me, and him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. If you got ears and are hearing me, listen. Woo! This is good stuff tonight. Somebody shout it. I love the majestic word of God.
I love the majestic word of God. Thank you.
Woo! Go ahead, Audrey. Who knows what verse?
I love the majestic word of God.
Woo!
Yeah, amen.
Go ahead, Sunday and Kathy, anybody on Facebook and YouTube, go ahead, man. Now, anybody know what verse I was on?
the verse that says he's walking through the for 3 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just grab one. That's verse 8. He removed the protection of Judah. You looked in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. I mean, 22:9. You also saw the damage to the city of David that was great, and you gathered to gather the waters of the lower pool. You numbered the houses of Jerusalem and the houses you broke down to fortify the wall. You also made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool. But you did not look to its maker. Notice that that word maker is capitalized. That's God. Nor did you have respect for him who fashioned it long ago. In that day, the Lord God of hosts called for weeping and for mourning, for baldness and for girding with sackcloth. But instead, joy and gladness, slaying the oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we may die. You ever heard that statement? Did you know that that came out of the Bible? A judgment against wicked people? My, my, my. Then it was revealed in my hearing by the Lord of hosts, Jesus and the angels. Surely for this iniquity there will be no atonement for you, even to your death, says the Lord God of hosts. Oh, that horrible words. Statement, there's no atonement for you? 15, thus says the Lord God of hosts, go proceed to this steward, to Shebna, who is over the house, and say, what have you here and whom have you here? You have hewn a sepulcher here, as he who hews himself a sepulcher on high, who carves a tomb for himself in a rock. Indeed, the Lord will throw you away violently. O mighty man, and will surely seize you. He will surely turn violently and toss you like a ball into a large country. There you shall die, and there your glorious chariots shall be the shame of your master's house. I will drive you out of your office and from your position. He will pull you down. It shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut. That's what I just read in Revelation. He shall shut and no one will open. I'll fasten him as a peg in the secure place, and he'll become a glorious throne to his father's house. They will hang on him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring, the posterity, all vessels of small quantity from the cups to all the pitchers. And that day, said the Lord of hosts, the peg that is fastened in the secure place will be removed, be cut down and fall. And the burden that was on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Well, we made up 3 days. We did good. And then tomorrow, we'll do another 3 days or however much we can make. And tomorrow I'll be really focused to get us started right on time and get ourselves caught up here. Now, this is where we always do circle the wagons. And I'm still going to receive communion, so those of you who need to get your communion elements ready, get them ready. And that will be me, but pretty soon Sister Leanne should be home and she can get them for me. Watch this. Every bit of what we're reading, you may not understand everything that we're reading. You may not have the total grasp of the whole Word of God. But when we read Micah, which would have been the 13th, I uploaded it yesterday. And the book of Micah, Micah says in chapter number 6, verse number 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Be to do justly, to love mercy. You got to love mercy, not judgment, and to walk humbly with our God. Now, I think sometimes people misinterpret what I say as Samuel, Pastor Samuel J. Cotto. Because on the Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness program, I will say words of judgment against leaders. Well, I'm speaking prophetically when I do that. I don't live my life judging every person and not providing mercy. But as I am speaking the word of God and ministering before God right here in front of you, God will give me words that I must speak. And if I don't say them into the realm of the Spirit, then I'll be judged for it. But that's not how you and I should live every day to our just common person that we're there. Now, there's a difference between the fivefold ministry gift of the prophet and you and I speaking a prophecy by the Spirit. You watch the news and some lying dog, dirty mouth, wicked person is on there clapping their lips. I encourage you to prophesy to that screen and say, I rebuke every word coming out of their foul mouth right now, and may their words be judged in their mouth, their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth so they stop lying to the public. But we're not judging that person to damnation. May God help them turn from their wicked ways. But that utterance needs to be cast to the ground. That utterance that they're making is against this constitutional republic that we live in. You can't do that. You are our hired help to run our nation, to ensure domestic tranquility. So the purpose why I'm saying all this is you'll hear me say words of judgment, but how I live my life is do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before our God. Now, love mercy and walk humbly will cause you to stand up in justice to the wicked. Because the only thing that answers injustice is justice. When I call upon God and the angels to bring that justice to this earth. You may not understand this whole picture yet. I just encourage you, stay connected. Some of you tonight, this is the first time you've heard this of this program called Read the Word. It's a daily program that we have done since January 1st, every day, reading through the Bible. The Bible is divided up into 365 days, and we're reading through it chronologically. So it's out of order from how it's positioned in the Bible. But it is in order, chronological history. Just like we read today about the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel and the foreign kings And now they're destroying Israel and all that. But also in the background is Isaiah. Also in the background is Hosea. Also in the background is Micah. And so you can see all of this coming together to paint a picture of God saying, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. In the New Testament, Jesus said, no longer will God be the God of way out in heaven. He's going to come and live on the inside of us. The Apostle Paul said, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, come out from among them, the workers of iniquity, and be ye separate. You can't be like them and claim to be a Christian. It doesn't happen. You got to come out. Well, then come over here. Well, Pastor, I just don't know. I try real hard to be that good, but I can't. It's not about being good. It's about receiving his righteousness. And then walking in his righteousness would be good. We just read it in Revelation. By the garment of salvation that will clothe your nakedness. Well, you can't offer a $20 bill or a stack of $20 bills to God to get there. To get the robe of righteousness. There's only one way to receive it. Put your hands up and receive it. It's the only way to receive it. Hang on just a second. Let's get our communion elements and receive communion together. I thought Sister Leanne would be here by now, but I got to go grab mine real quick. Be right back. So here we go with communion. This is this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, verse 31, and then 1 John 4, 17 and 18. And we receive communion together. Every time we come together in the evening program like this, we receive communion. And if you don't make it a ritual and you speak to God from your heart saying, I receive this reality into my life, it will change your life. Just consistently change your life. You may not notice it at first, but all of a sudden you'll be able to look back and say, wow, my life is actually really changing right now. Ready? Here we go. Wait, let's pray and finish up our read the word. Father, thank you for this assignment to read the word. We love the word of God. We love it. You said, Jesus, you said, thy word is truth. He said, when you know the truth will set you free. Thank you that it's not a religious organization or a denomination that sets us free. It's the knowing of the truth and living in it. And how wonderful and glorious and delivering and freeing it is to just live in the truth and then to love everyone around us. May every person within the sound of my voice, Father, may the eyes of their understanding be flooded with enlightenment so they can know who you are and see the majestic word of God in Jesus' mighty name. Bless this time of communion together. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the trauma that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. God doesn't want you bound by trauma. God doesn't want you bound by fear. God doesn't want you bound at all. He came to heal your broken heart, set at liberty those of you who have been oppressed, and never see you another day suffer in any way, but bring an understanding to all of the ways of your past that has made no sense to you. And we're going to do it right now with the communion element. Pray this prayer of salvation with me. And it doesn't matter who you are. If you pray this prayer from the depths of your heart, you will be right with God. Those of you that are on Zoom, you're welcome to pray it with us. I like to hear the voices. We're going to pray this prayer, and God's going to bring people to Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every
and
day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Just be bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life. Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all of the fullness of God.
With all of the fullness of God.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Amen. You might say, wow, Pastor, something's going on the inside. Yeah, it does. I know. I experience it still. Been a Christian since I was 12 years old, 47 years now. I've been a Christian. I'm going to tell you something. As soon as I got the revelation, that's not intellectual. That's not I became a doctorate degree of intellectualism about God and all of his ways. No. I got the revelation. He transformed me. All I had to do was receive him. I can feel it every day. I'm experiencing it every day. What happened? Jesus, the light of the world, just filled your being. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, just came and lived on the inside of you. Light and faith just filled every part of your being. You don't have to go work to find it. You don't have to, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Oh, my God, I hope I can. Should somebody please help me, please do this. No, no. It's already in you. You know what? Phyllis K. Raymond don't have to try to be Phyllis K. Raymond. She already is. Samuel J. Cottle don't have to try to be me. I am. You don't have to try to be something. You just are. Except now you're filled with Jesus. You've been born into the kingdom of God. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You've been made a minister of reconciliation and best. It's all just happened to you right there in that 2 minute session. Now your place is to walk with God every day of your life. He loves you and he's helping you be what you're supposed to be right now. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Get your communion elements. You're ready. Some, those of you that just got born again, think about it. Your first act as a new believer is to receive the communion elements. Anywhere from this point forward where the communion elements are served, you have every right, according to the word of God, to receive them. Now, they may not let you because of their religious indoctrinated rules, but according to the Bible, when the body of Christ is broken and his blood is shed, it's yours. You're a body, part of the body. You should be able to receive it. You ready? Let's bless the elements and we'll receive them together. Pray this with me, Father, in the name of Jesus. You got your mic muted, sister.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
You were wounded for my transgression.
You were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my
and
community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
Let's
name.
Receive his broken body together. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful, amazing, glorious, broken body of Jesus. We love being a part of the body of Christ. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. Say this from the depths of your heart in the greatest faith you can muster. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
You are restoring my life every day.
You are restoring my life every day.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
by the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome every time.
I overcome every time.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
I'm being instructed to add this. And I rebuke every word being spoken against me.
And I rebuke
every word being spoken against me. Because that's my inheritance.
Because that's my inheritance.
As a child of God.
As a child of God.
My conscience is purged.
My
robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Glory be to God. I sure have missed being here doing communion every night. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing.
I don't ever miss it.
Amen. Well, I just missed with you guys.
I mean, if something happened that I didn't get it, fresh live, I would go to a Sunday morning program and watch it just so that I could get the communion at the end.
Amen. Amen.
I always watch them over again anyway. So.
And see.
So I just get an extra.
I want everybody to hear what Phyllis is saying, because even if I'm not able to be here, you can always go back and turn on one of the older messages. And this is why I tell you. To have this notebook and to write notes. Hold your notebook up, Phyllis. I'm not glorifying Phyllis. But if you have a notebook and you write down there on that day and that page, this is a powerful message. The day will come when you're able to go back and say, wait, that date was this. And then just go to YouTube, search my name, and search that date, and it'll bring up that message. You'll be able to hear it again and receive communion. It's powerful. Let's sing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow and makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, thanks for being with us tonight, guys.
Thank you, Pastor Steve.
If you wake up in the middle of the night, I'll be driving till about 11, 12 o'clock tomorrow sometime. We'll see. Thank you for your prayers. And as this opportunity continually opens up, we're going to see what it is that God's doing and where he's taking us to that whole new level in him. And I encourage you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Wake up every day and say, yes, Lord, I will do exactly what you give me to do, even if it doesn't make sense and I can't seem to figure it out. I say yes.
Can I do the benediction?
Yes, ma'am. Go for it.
Okay. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.
And amen. And amen, who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory.
Now, you know, I read that, who is able to keep you from falling, in the King James Version for about 75 years, right?
That's pretty powerful.
That's the way I quote it. I actually have to be looking at the Bible, this one, and reading word for word to make sure I don't say it that way.
but you know, that's the power of a true translation is somebody else describes that word in a different way. Now, let me say this about translation. I guarantee you that the Spanish translation is not word for word of the King James 1611. And anybody that teaches that doctrine has never thought their brain through all the way. The King James 1611 cannot be translated into Swahili. Swahili doesn't have no these or thous. They have clicks. That's how those people talk. So these people that say the only Bible you can read in this thing in King James 1611, if you don't read that, you're going to hell. Don't listen to those people. You don't even have enough sense to think about the languages of the world. And they're building a doctrine that if you don't read the King James Bible, you go to hell. Now, how stupid is that?
Now, you know, Jesus never once read anything out of the King James Version, right?
Well, yes, he did, and so did Paul. Jesus, when he was teaching, said, now in Matthew chapter 23, verse 11.
He never once read anything in the King James Version unless he was in the Spirit, in need. He was writing the Bible.
He was speaking it anyway. Well, all right, I got to run. Got to go. I'm going to be driving all night. I love you guys.
Have fun.
We'll see you guys.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you tomorrow. May the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be yours in Jesus' mighty name. Remember what we always say? Remember this. We love you and God loves you and Jesus.
Is Lord.
See you
good
soon.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.